I was reminded of a song that I've sang it many times, written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It's in page 98 of your red hymnal there. And he talks about hearing the bells of Christmas. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Isn't that what God said? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along through the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." If you knew the background of this song, you would know that this poet's son was in the Union of the Civil War, fighting for the North. He'd had a fever for quite a while and was unable to fight, but when he finally broke the fever, he was forced into battle and was shot and wounded. And that's what prompted that third verse. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. I think he was probably angry. Where is the peace on earth? That's a good question, isn't it? God said peace on earth. Good will to men. Verse 4 said, Longfellow broke through. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." This morning I would like to read and share with you a message of this peace that's coming. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her." And we talked about that last week, how that area of Israel was under the control of the Assyrians. "By the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles, the peoples who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You, God, have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest." And Joe McCutcheon, how's the joy of harvest? Is Joe in here? Vivi, don't you like a good harvest? Brian, doesn't a good harvest add to the joy of your work? And a bad harvest adds to discouragement, doesn't it? Yeah. A harvest is important, especially when you get paid by the poundage of milk. A good harvest is important there too, isn't it? But he says they rejoice as in the harvest, the joy of a harvest. "As men rejoice when they divide the spoil." And by the way, you know, we had the largest lottery winner. Were they happy when they divided the spoil? Now, I'm not promoting the lottery by any means, so don't throw stones. I'm just saying, people rejoice when good things happen to them, right? People rejoice when good comes into their life. He goes on to say, "For you have broken the yoke of his burden," that is of Israel's burden, "the staff on his shoulders, the rod of his oppression, as in the day of Midian." Now, as in the day of Midian meant when, remember when Gideon blew the trumpet and the Midianites were defeated with just a handful of people? And he drove literally tens of thousands of Midianites away with a trumpet. As in the day of Gideon when they defeated Midian. That was a great joyful time. And it's a picture of Jesus. And then it says, for every warrior sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Now, peace. Let me quickly say this. In different languages, peace, and let me just get the and I won't be able to pronounce some of these people groups, but in the tribal word for the Piro tribe of the people of Peru, the word peace means the well-arranged soul. The well-arranged soul. The Mexicans say it means completeness. Peace means completeness. Another group, from Liberia, my heart sits down. I like that one. My heart sits down is their word for peace, and that's what it means. A song in my body is the Balui people of the Ivory Coast. There's a song in my body. So you have all these things. And of course, when we think of peace in the United States, I remember the very first year I was saved, and my wife and I, my girlfriend back then, my girlfriend Diane and I were driving home to Phillipsburg to have Thanksgiving with my parents. And on came, the president skips my mind, that took over after Nixon. President Ford. And President Ford said this, the thing he was most thankful for, that we as a nation were for the first time in a long time in a time of peace. And I thought about what that meant, of course, and the peace that Henry Kissinger had diplomatically paid for. Because peace in our country means this, an absence of conflict or war. So when we say we are at peace, we say we're not at war. And of course, I guess right now we're still at war, and we're going to be in a war with terrorism for a long time. So the days of peace in the United States is just not there. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, all oppressors will be defeated, it says. The warrior's boots, the noisy battles. You know how much noise there is in a battle? Just turn the TV on and watch them shoot at each other. Can you imagine how loud that is in real life? Bombs going off, machine guns going off, all kinds of weaponry, noisy battles, bloody uniforms. There's coming a day when there'll be no more. There's coming a day when there'll be no more war. And the question is why? And the answer is given in that very next verse in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. So there is coming a day when whoever this is, this child that is born, this son who is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name, the name of that child, the name of that son, will be all of those descriptions of person. But the last one's the one I want to focus on, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Peace. Can you imagine peace? A world at peace. A world without guns. Wouldn't that be beautiful on the streets? Wouldn't it be beautiful to close your door and you don't have to lock it? Try that in the inner city. Try that in Tyrone. I even lock my house every day when I leave. I didn't used to. But all it takes is one person to get broken into, and it could have been you the next time. But my point is this: peace is because Jesus is born. And the government will be upon His shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. And Jesus is a wonderful counselor, guys. Folks, He's a wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God in flesh, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And that's what I wanted to focus on, as I said. Now, the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. I want to focus on that. He's the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah wrote it in his native language. The Hebrew word Prince of Peace is Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. I feel the need to pray, so let's bow for prayer. Lord, so oftentimes we get so excited to get into the message that we forget that without You we are nothing, and this message is absolutely without Your power. We want Your power. We long, Spirit of God, for Your power. We long for Your voice in our hearts, both to confirm our faith and convict us where need be, and to inform the person who, like all of us, was one time without faith in Jesus and without peace. But please, reveal to us this morning that Jesus Christ and what it means that He is the Prince of Peace. In His name I pray. Amen. The word Sar Shalom is the word Prince of Peace. Now, Sar is the Hebrew word for the head person, the captain, the governor. It'd be like our president. All right? The prince, the person in charge. As the president often would say, the buck stops here. So the person in charge, that's the word Sar. The Romans had a very similar word for their ruler. He was called Caesar. Caesar. You ever hear that before? Julius Caesar? Augustus Caesar? Nero Caesar? Their word for the ultimate ruler was Caesar. That's the Romans. The Russians, until the Bolshevik Revolution, called their ruler Tsar. You've heard that before, haven't you? The Tsar. And so this word Tsar, Shalom, is a word that transcends languages. The Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Tsar, the ruler of Shalom. Jesus is the ruler of Shalom. You want Shalom? You want peace? You won't get it from Julius Caesar. You won't get it from Tsar Nicholas. You won't get it from President Obama or President Bush or President Reagan. As good as these guys were and are, there's only one who is the ruler of true peace. Jesus. Now, Shalom denotes harmony and completeness of soul. It means that everything around you is whole. And let me say this, even when things on the outside are chaos, you can be at peace with inside with everything around you. And we'll look at that. But Shalom has to do with a deep sense of completeness. You're complete. It's like Psalm 23 once says, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest say? You're complete. You're complete in knowing the Lord. He is your completeness. Jesus is the Tsar or the ruler of Shalom. Wholeness in every way. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the ruler of well-being, the ruler of completeness, the ruler of wholeness. He is the Tsar Shalom to you. That's who Jesus is, this child that is born. Do you understand? This child that is born is the Tsar, the ruler of peace, the ruler of wholeness. You trying to find wholeness in the junk of the world? You trying to find wholeness in the physical relationships of youth or immorality? You know, I hate it breaks my heart when I see women being used in a relationship, or men, I should add, but usually more happens to women this way. They're used in a relationship and then what? Discarded. And you know the saddest part of all that is, they go right back into another relationship, trying to find love, trying to find completeness. And you scratch your head and you just shake and you wish, you beg you that they could see and understand that they're not going to find wholeness or well-being in an immoral relationship. They will only find it in a wholeness relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying there's not forgiveness. There is. There is a God who through Christ forgives us. We're all sinners here. I'm not throwing stones. I'm not throwing stones. But it breaks my heart to see this in young pre-married women and even married women trying to find happiness. Jesus is the well-being person you need, the ruler of your life's wholeness. If we understood this truth, we would see Jesus Christ differently the rest of our lives. Because He's the one that can put the rest of your lives together in peace, in wholeness, in purpose. I mean that with all my heart. Can I hear an amen? He really is. He is the one that can put the rest of your life together in complete, in utter wholeness. That can heal you. He wants to heal. He wants to show you the purpose that you're doing, that you're to do walking on this speck of dust. I mean, this life is unbelievable. What am I doing here? You're here by God's design, and He's got a purpose for you. He's the Prince of wholeness, of well-being, and of blessing in your life. They announced peace at His birth. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, they announced peace at His birth. Don't you love these scriptures at Christmas? I love them. The shepherds were keeping watch over, there were shepherds in the same country, that is, were around Bethlehem. They were living, verse 8, living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, an animal feeding trough. Now that's quite a sign, isn't it? I guess that sign was quite... You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in an animal feeding trough. That's a sign. I don't think too many people would miss that sign, amen? And they didn't. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Think of that. Glory to God up in the heavens. All glory to Him, and on earth, where we are, peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men that He favors. Whatever you want to say, I don't care. But He wants to bring goodwill to people. Now, what was the message? Peace. Peace to you on earth. God's message to earth is peace. At the birth of Christ, peace was announced. I want you to see in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Turn back one book to Mark chapter 5. And this is a beautiful story too. 25. A certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all the money that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in a crowd and touched His garment. For she said, "If only I would touch His clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain or the flowing of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to Him, "Lord, you see this multitude thronging you, and you asked, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You know, if you'll have faith and will touch Jesus Christ with your faith in your heart that He died for your sins, and you'll have faith that He is the Lord of heaven, and you'll have faith that He arose from the dead, and you'll have faith that He can forgive all your sins if you'll believe in Him and trust Him. Do you believe that? That He can forgive your sins. Touch Him with faith. And then it says, "And go in peace." Go in peace. Go in peace in your heart. Because Jesus gives peace. There was peace announced at His birth. There's peace in His miracles. And then there's peace in the authority of His Word over all. I want to ask you a question. I put this picture up there. Can you imagine being out on the Sea of Galilee in a small boat, and the storm rises up out of nowhere? Please get that. The storm came out of nowhere. Now God knew where. But the storm, humanly speaking, was unexpected. Have you ever been there? And without any warning in your life, a storm comes and you're right in the middle of the storm. In Mark chapter 4, look there with me. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now Jesus told them to get in the boat and let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. That's scary. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a scary scene. If you've ever been out in the ocean and you're not close to shore, I remember one time, in New Jersey, idiot Roy. There's that word again. I go fishing at the shore, and I was too cheap to buy a motorboat. So I had a rowboat out on the bay. And all of a sudden, I mean out of nowhere, this windstorm comes out. And I'm in this rowboat trying to get to shore. And it was insane. And I was scared. Now there wasn't water coming up over the side, but this is a true story. Now my wife could see me from the shore, and I'm sure she was scared too. And the wind was blowing me out to sea because I was going out the channel to the ocean. And there was no stopping me. And I was scared to death. Oh, I've been out in the ocean a couple times like that. But by the grace of God, this guy in a motorboat saw my situation. And he came and he threw me a rope and he pulled me into shore. But there out in the ocean, the water's coming up over the sides of the boat, and all these guys, and they're afraid. And Jesus was asleep. Verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are dying here? We're perishing." And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he turns and said to them, "Why were you so afraid?" I'm sure they thought, didn't open their mouth. But he asked him, "Why were you so afraid?" "Well, because the wind was blowing and the waves were coming up over our boat. And we were about ready to be sunk. That's why we..." They didn't say that though, did they? But Jesus asked him, "Why were you afraid?" Well, let me ask you this. What's going on in your life that you're afraid? Your finances, your job situation, your health, your battle. What's going on in your life that you're afraid? His word's authority brought peace to the storm. And His word can bring peace to your storm. If you'll turn to His word, and you'll call on Him, believing, turn and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, He was the ruler of that storm too. Things happen in our life that are not accidents. God loves you so much, He wants to get your attention. And until you realize it's Jesus, is who you need, you're going to be like those disciples out on Galilee that day, that night, in the dark. It's Jesus, the ruler of peace. Fourth, the blood that the Prince of Peace shed on the cross can bring you peace with God. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The Prince of Peace shed His blood on the cross for your peace with God. In Colossians chapter 1, 19, okay. For it pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. That is the fullness of God. And by Him to reconcile, that is to bring together all things to Himself, to God the Father. He can reconcile all people to Himself by Him. That is by Jesus. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Now that's saying a whole lot of words, but the nutshell of those words are this, that God and man are separated. They're apart. And what lies in between them is sin. And man and God individually are separated. But Jesus died on the cross and shed the Prince of Peace, the Tsar, the ruler of peace, died on the cross to give you peace with God. And to reconcile, bring together. I tell you, such thoughts are beyond my comprehension, that we can be one with God. That's just beyond my comprehension. That blows every fuse in my brain. It does. That God and me can be one. Undivided, indivisible, one. One at peace. Through the blood of His cross. And Jesus died on the cross. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God this morning? Do you know for certain that you and God are one and have peace together? Because if you don't know the ruler of peace who makes you whole. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I do not give you as the world gives peace that's here and there and gone. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus gives a kind of peace that's different than you can get in the world. Let me say that. Jesus gives a different kind of peace. Not an external peace in Afghanistan, as ridiculous as that is. Not an external peace in Iraq. That's what, by the way, that's what we have in Iraq, peace. Right. Russia. Right. There is so much hostility and anger and hatred in those countries. And even toward us, they hate us. Not as the world gives. He's talking about an inner peace, a peace in your soul. Peace that comes from a sense of having God's presence with you and forgiveness of your sins and hope for eternal life and a meaningful purpose for your life now. That's what Jesus gave me. And that's what Jesus gave everyone who believes in Him. He gives them a meaningful life, a full life, a whole life. There's no other life like it. Not the world's kind of external peace that's temporary. He gives an inner peace that's all-encompassing, both now and eternal. No matter our external circumstances, God is in 100% control of the things in your life. Say, I don't like that. I know you don't. But it doesn't change it. Do you have peace in your storm? An inner peace that He gives, that the world can't give you, but a peace in knowing Him that He gives, that nobody can take from you. That kind of peace. Believe in the ruler of peace, Jesus. I was reading, and I've told you this not quite as often as I talked about my unsaved years of sin. Thank you for the great party, by the way. You say, you couldn't have... I was totally surprised. I did not even dream. It wasn't in my mind. I had no expectation. Nothing. It was a total surprise last week. And I thank you for those that organized it. Thank you. And the gifts, thank you. The fun gifts. I don't know that I'll wear it in church, in the pulpit. Once. Maybe once. This summer when I can wear it. It makes me look fat, by the way. But I want you to know, Ron Hutchcraft was talking. He was on an airplane. And this airplane was having immense problems with hydraulics. He said, and they didn't use the C word, but you knew they were talking about, they were panicking. And they were panicking all this time, and this old lady next to him, he called her old. This old lady next was telling how she was going to see her grandchildren in New Jersey. And he was saying that was nice and this and that and talking to her. Well, the plane landed safely, and she asked him the question. Sir, I noticed you had peace. When everybody was so afraid and holding on, you had peace. And the simple answer was, Jesus has given me a peace that passes human comprehension. It's an inward peace, ma'am. And you can know that same peace through trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Peace. I don't have time to get into the end, but His government will increase and His peace will increase. The Bible currently says Jesus' government, peace increases one life at a time. His government increases. Every time a soul calls on Him as their Lord and Savior, His kingdom increases. And His peace increases. But there's coming a day in which Jesus will rule on earth. And in Micah 4:5, they'll beat their swords into plowshares. And there will be no more weapons. That's a good time. Thank you for holding that, your child off to cry till now. I'm teasing. But they'll beat the weapons into useful tools. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more bloodshed when Jesus Christ and His kingdom come to earth. And His kingdom will never end. Let's pray. Father, if there's one here that has never accepted You, never accepted Your Son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today might be a day where they give their life to You, Jesus, and turn their heart over to be Your throne. And invite You, the Prince, the Ruler of Peace, to come into their hearts and to give them a whole life, a complete life, a blessed life. In spite of the outward circumstances all around them, they can have that peace, wholeness in their heart, that all is well. Oh God, give a believer here this morning that peace in their life's trials. And I pray, Lord, that if there's one here that's never accepted You, that they would, even right now, say, Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I believe You so loved the world You gave Your Son, who died for me, for my sin, and rose again. I give my life to You, Jesus Christ, in faith. I believe in You. Come and live in my heart and give me a new life. In Jesus, Your name, I pray this.